What's my subject tonight?
Nobody wants to make a home call.
And I want you to turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, again, because nothing speaks of the Bible better than the Bible itself. I want you to get engrossed in this scripture with me as I read it. I love so much Pastor Downer and his wife and family, and I like macho men. And I've told my wife many times, I said, Pastor Downer is a macho man, and he's good looking with a good looking wife. How can you beat that? What a team. And then came Brother Jenkins and ruined it all. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. You're looking at Luke chapter 10. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Verses 1 through 11 to begin with. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place, whether he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same hour remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the labor is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Now skip down to verse 16. He that heareth you, heareth me. And he that despiseth you, despiseth me. And he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. What a joyful thought that is. There is a terrible story about two young Mormon missionaries who were going door to door. They knocked on the door of one woman's house who was not all happy to see them. The woman told them that in no uncertain terms that she did not want to hear their message and slammed the door in their faces. To her surprise, however, the door did not close, and in fact, almost magically bounced back open. She tried again, really putting her back into it, and slammed the door again
with the same amazing result, the door bounced back open. Convinced that one of the young religious zealots was sticking their feet in the door, she reared back to give it a third slam. She felt this would teach them a lesson. But before she could act, one of them stopped her and politely said, "Ma'am, before you do that again, you really should move your cat." I know that's awful, and I told you to begin with that it was a terrible, terrible story. Now, Jesus appointed the 70, and they were to go door to door and house to house, village to village, town to town. That was back then, that's not now. We live in a totally different culture now. And I'm not against door-to-door visitation, but you better be careful and know what you're doing, and don't be dumb enough to send women out to do that. Is that okay to say that, Pastor? That was pretty strong. Not dumb, stupid. Is that a better word? Okay. Now, we live in a totally different day. Some of my friends say to me, "It worked back then and it will work now." I'm here to tell you that things have changed. And so I'm not against visitation, and I'm for visiting in a proper way with the people that know how to visit. I'm totally for that. But that is not the best way, may I say, in our culture today to build the church. And I could prove that with facts and statistics. I asked my associate, Brother Beaver, when I hired him a long, long time ago. He retired from the Navy when he was 38 years old, and he was a deacon for several years before then, and I saw the potential in him of being a great staff member. So I told him, "Brother Beaver, I want to hire you on the staff of Landing." "Oh, no, preacher, I haven't been in any kind of schooling or teaching. I'm not, I said, no, we're going to teach you. We're going to teach you." And he said, "Well, I don't think," I said, don't argue with me. I'm the pastor." And so we hired him. And he didn't be on the staff very long. And I said, "Brother Beaver, I want you to do something for me." And he said, "What?" I said, "I want you to make a visitor's card." At this particular time, we were having 25 visitors on average per Sunday. But the church, Blanding, we have the Naval Air Station that's just a short pace that way from us. At that time, we had Cecil Field, which was another big military facility. And so we had an average of 25 visitors per Sunday. And so I told Brother Beaver, "I want you to fix a visitor's card, and I want you to fix it so that they can mark why they came to Blanding Boulevard Baptist." And I said, "As an example, are they coming because they saw the facilities? Are they coming because they saw the big sign out front?" There was a furniture store right across the street from our church in a little shopping center, and it was Marlin's Furniture Company, and we made good friends with Mr. Lazarus that owned that and another store out on Normandy Boulevard. And so he had this mammoth sign. Just the face of it is 10 by 20 feet. We had to get a special exemption to be able to do that, and that was a miracle within itself. Colonial type sign, beautiful, way up there, and neon lighting, and it was just beautiful. And one day, Brother Beaver and I saw a for sale sign on it, and I said, "Let's go over there and look at that." And we went across the street and drove by and looked, and it was on that sign. And I said, "Surely not." And so I said, "Let's go in the store." And we went in the store and saw Mr. Lazarus. And I said, "Hey, How you doing? That sign out front, it says it's for sale. Is that the truth? He said, yeah. He said, I'm moving everything over to my store on Normandy. So I'm getting out of this store, and he said, it's for sale. Now, remember, this is a long time ago. And I said, decades ago, I said, well, how much is it? He said, $1,500. But don't forget, somebody's got to move it. And I said, yeah. And he said, but for you, $500. We bought the sign for $500. We had it taken down and moved across the street. And it's been a real eye catcher. So I said, put on there if they came as a result of the big sign. Put on there if they came as a result of the radio broadcast. Put on there if it was a result of the newspaper ads that we put in every week on the paper. Put down on there if it was because of those 10 vans that were stretched out, spaced out, a car spot apart across the front. It looked like a parking lot of vans. A lot of people came because they said, that's the church where all those vans are. So I said, I want you to put that on there. And then I said, put on there if they came at the invitation of somebody that's a member of our church. I said, I don't want to talk to you for 6 months about this. In 6 months, I'm going to bring you in, and we're going to talk about the results. In 6 months, I brought him in, and I said, now, what's the results of it? And he said, preacher, it's unbelievable. And I said, all right, lay it out on me. And he said, well, he said that only 6% said that they came as a result of all of this other stuff. And he said the rest of them, that would be 94%, said they came as a result of an invitation by one of the people in our church. There's the key. When you're excited about your church, when you love your church, when you are glad for what's here, and then you tell somebody else, hey, we've got it at Bible Baptist. We want you to come and visit with us. That's where it is. That's where you can really get the growth of your church. So that was very, very, very interesting. Now, there's about three important things I want us to see in, from this text tonight. Are you still awake? Say amen.
Amen.
Okay, number one. First of all, Jesus still calls us to reach out to the lost. Jesus never meant for his body to become an exclusive club centered only on its own needs. And believe me, that happens in a lot of churches. In Christian service, there is no unemployment. There are people all over this community, our community in Jacksonville, and all over this country who are in desperate straits. And Christ has called us to minister to them before it is too late. Are you still awake? Secondly, Jesus calls us, oh, now listen, this is so important. Jesus calls us to identify with those he came to save. So many Christians are much more like the Pharisees than they are like Jesus. The Pharisees set themselves apart from unrighteous people. They were much, much more concerned that they did not become sullied than that the sick and the dying be saved. Jesus wants his people to have a heart for all people. All people. He wants us to identify with the least and the lowest. Of the many things I love about Bible Baptist Church, I love the emphasis that you have and that you continue to put on young people, on teenagers and on children. And I'm impressed with the quality of the teenagers and the children in this church. It is interesting that Jesus told those whom he was sending out in verse number 8 to eat and drink whatever is set before you. Now that sometimes is a test of faith all in itself. If you ever have been on the mission field, or if you have ever been in the homes of people at the bottom of the socioeconomic scale, you know that not everything set before you looks appetizing or even sanitary. Precious memories, how they linger. Hadn't thought about this for a long time. Now, Mrs. Jenkins, if you don't mind, just for me, would you please embrace your mistakes again tonight? When I graduated from the college, seminary, university now, I was 22 years old, went there went when I was 18, and we were called to a church in Vidalia, Georgia, the Calvary Baptist Church. Bill Berryhill was a pastor then. No. It wasn't Bill Berryhill. He came after Brother Mosley, M.M. Mosley. I don't know if you ever heard of him or not. He pastored in Fort Worth for a good long while. Brother Mosley invited us to come. Starla was only about 6 or 7 weeks old. We left Texas, gave everything away, had a little Morris Minor convertible that was smaller than a Volkswagen Bug, and put the basket in the back and the baby in the basket and hope for the best. So we were at Calvary Baptist Church. They had just built a beautiful yellow brick ranch style house. Beautiful, brand new. Didn't have any heat in it yet. And it was winter time. And we were in a bedroom, and they had a place closer to the fireplace. We didn't. And maybe, I don't know if Starla's anxiety came from that experience or not, preacher. It well could have, because she cried and cried and cried, and we cried too a little bit with her. I mean, it was miserable. But for the little while that we were there, there was a gracious family in the church that was just precious people. And they were very, very poor. And so they asked Loretta and myself to please come one evening and have dinner with them. And we said, fine, we'll look forward to it. We went out into the country to their humble little shack is what it was. It was literally one of them places that when you go in certain places, you could look through and see the ground. And the chickens were running all over the place. And extremely poor people. And but so sweet. So we got in there, and it was so, the whole thing was so humble and so, it was so poor. Probably about the poorest Loretta and I had seen. And so the lady, she was fixing supper. And Loretta and I were standing on the front porch just for a little bit, enjoying the evening. And there was a well right in front of the house, probably about 20 or 25 feet out in the yard, there was a well. And on that well, there were several ducks. And all of them had their back ends over the well. And Loretta and I watched there and watched the squirts. Now, don't try to imagine that too much. We did. We stood there and we watched them ducks squirt in that well. And it wasn't long that the man came out to get some water for her to fix the tea. And he dipped that bucket in that well and pulled that water up to take in for her to fix the tea. Man, we sit around that little table and Laura and I looked at each other and the fried chicken still had a little hair on it. And I mean, it wasn't with malicious intent. They were just very poor people. And they said grace. And Loretta and I ate very slowly. Very slowly. And we only took one serving. And we only took one sip of the tea. And she said, "You don't like tea, preacher?" And I said, "Well, I'm just pretty full tonight." Man, a live preacher. But they were sweet as they could be. And I'm here to tell you tonight that God does not want us to put them down or look down on them or refuse to have fellowship with them because they're poor. He wants us to reach out to everybody. Everybody. People that say, "Well, I don't want those bus kids. I don't want those kids from out here that haven't been raised right and all that business." I'm going to tell you what. We better be open to everybody. Now, they need to come right, and they need to come with respect, and if they don't come with it, learn it quick to be a party of the church. But the doors ought to be wide open to them. And nobody should look down on them or think that they're better than they are. Because but for the grace of God, that's where we would all be. Now, did you get the picture of what I just said? How could we ever forget the ducks? How could you ever forget something like that? I'm glad you're singing. That boy's good singing. Good singing. Well, what direction am I going to take now? You have any idea? You know what? Folks, we've got the good news. Amen. Good news! Did I wake somebody up? There was this grandmother that had this drop-dead cute poodle, and a little granddaughter said to her, "Grandma, I love that poodle. Could I please have her when you pass away?" And the grandma said, "Of course, honey." And she said, "I can't wait." Oh, Wouldn't that encourage you? I can't wait, Grandma. Well, that wasn't good news, but we've got good news. We've got the best news. And God wants us to share it. I know I've had to tell you, any place I preach where I'm relaxed, and I'm relaxed here, I have to be careful not to get too relaxed. But I'm relaxed here. And I'm sure I've told you this story in depth about when I sold Kirby's, the Kirby vacuum cleaners. You remember that? You're shaking your head kind of. Yeah, how many of you remember me talking about the Kirby vacuum cleaners? Oh, good. Well, I'm not going to tell the whole thing. I don't have time. But when I went to the seminary, I was 18 years old, and within 2 months, I was on the staff of South Riverside Drive Baptist Church. Owen Rossing was a pastor, church of about 250, wonderful preacher, and I was a choir director and taught a couples class. And so they paid me, but they didn't pay me enough to take care of all the business that I need to take care of. So I've always loved selling. And so, and we're talking about door to door that you don't see now. It's just a different day. But I loved it. I mean, I loved the challenge of it. And I'll never forget on Friday afternoon when us guys, Kirby guys, would be in this big meeting room, and they had a piano in there, and we were actually singing. You'd think he was in an evangelistic meeting. And the boy, we'd be getting all pumped up to get out there and sell them Kirby's. And just before we loaded up the trunks, we'd be singing, "When she meets you at the door, she may be a little sore. Bye, bye, Kirby. Isn't it a wonderful sensation when you make the perfect demonstration? When she meets you at the door, she may be a little sore. But bye-bye, Kirby." Woo! Hey, preacher, when I travel, you know, so many scores and scores of times from Florida here to Texas, I come through all those towns, and I just think about all the places I've sold those Kirbys. I actually sold a Kirby in a little old humble house where they didn't have electricity. I mean, that's how excited I had the people in that house about that Kirby. I did. I'm not lying. I'm telling the truth. I sold a Kirby in a house where there was no electricity. I sold a Kirby in one house in one of the communities I went into one night. And the wife was wanting it. The husband didn't. And he got so mad he went and got a shotgun. And I still sold it. I mean, I loved it. It was a challenge to me. I mean, I was so excited about a Kirby. I mean, why should I be telling you this? Actually, in one house, a lady said, "I don't know if I need that." I said, "I'm going to tell you what. Can we step to your bedroom and doors open and everything?" She said, "Well, yes." And I went in and I said, "Can I pull the sheet back?" And I did. And I used that Kirby on the mattress. And then I took the bag out and I said, "Look what was in that mattress. And that's what you're sleeping on." Well, I didn't lie. I stretched the truth a little bit. But I didn't lie. And she said, "Oh!" She bought that thing within 10 minutes. I loved it. I had a product that I loved. It was beautiful. Boy, when you set that thing up and in the Kirby place, they would have a spotlight. They'd have it on the platform and have a spotlight shining on it. Woo! It was beautiful. Preacher, I've sold that in some places, where I sucked the nails out of the floor. The woman said, "What's that?" And I said, "Well, I think it's the nails." I did. because I'd go out of these poor communities. And I said, man, she said, boy, that is powerful. I about bought the house down, selling the Kirby. Had a great product, and I love selling it. But the wonderful thing is, we have a product far better, and his name is Jesus. And people need him. Thirdly, are you still awake? Yes. Last but not least, are you encouraged? Yes. You are. You're honest, aren't you? Yeah, get it over with, preacher. No. Last but not least, sometimes the people we help us more than we help them. Now stand with your heads bowed, please, and the pastor will come for the invitation. And remember, tomorrow night, the Harley on the platform.
Amen. We'll take just a few moments here and have a verse of invitation. Maybe you've got something you want to deal with here at the altar, if you'd like, or right where you stand. Let's just seek the Lord the next few moments. Folks, we've got one more night, so let's be praying about it. We got a good group tonight. Invite somebody. We'll get them back here tomorrow night. Let's pray about it, okay?
When you want